Welcome to Leaked, a program about food issues and questions around the community. Join Barry as he chews up the facts and spills the beans on what's happening in the secret life of food.
Hi guys, welcome to Leaked. So today, this is my last show for this program, and I'll be talking about fermented food, which I talked about a few weeks ago, and it's something that I've been working on for the past few months. So over the past few months, it's been a bit hectic because I changed a new topic and everything just seems a bit hard to juggle, I guess. And then so it's just like I have to kind of take a break and then just focus on my studies. So today we're talking about fermented foods. So what are the health benefits of fermented foods? So for years, fermented foods have been part of the human diet. Sometimes people say it's yuck or it's ew or it's disgusting, but it's kind of becoming more frequently available, and it's for some people it's got the strange acquired taste. No other food product is more available, portable, or accessible than fermented foods that we eat today. So for some people, they think like fermented foods is really disgusting, but in reality, you're eating a lot of fermented foods and you don't really know. So and basically, it's just like when you walk down an aisle of in the supermarket, you could figure out what is fermented and what is not. When they use the word cured, aged, all these are kind of require some type of fermentation. So like the most common ones are like yogurt, cheese, bread is fermented as well, beer, wine, pickles, and kimchi. And there are all these different types of examples of fermented foods around the world. So, for example, there's kimchi in Korea. So, this, like, really spicy cabbage. It's kind of like a sauerkraut, but it's, like, much more spicy, and it's got a bit more flavor. Miso in Japan. And there's different types of cheeses, of course, around Europe. And, of course, besides the rich flavor, there are also other reasons why we kind of consuming all these different types of fermented foods. So lately, more and more people are talking about the health benefits of fermented foods, from curing tummy aches to increasing memory. People are making a link between a healthy gut and also a healthy body. So today, we're going to talk about the health benefits of fermented foods. Fermentation is a process of using microorganisms such as bacteria and yeast to convert carbohydrates to alcohol and organic acids under anaerobic conditions. So basically these conditions where it doesn't really need a lot of air. So there's two types of fermentation. So there's alcoholic and also lactic acid. So that's lactic acid is kind of like this really sour, cheesy taste. And there are several benefits of fermenting food. So fermentation serves to enhance the digestion of food. Well, this is kind of, it's kind of like, fermentation is kind of like this eating up your food. So you're getting these bacteria and yeast to kind of like chew up your food. And because it's kind of like half chewed or like basically half eaten, and then when you consume it, it's much more easier to digest. And basically, when it's much more easily digested, we could absorb the nutrients and also these minerals that's really good for us. So, for example, sauerkraut, when basically it's just like things are broken down, that's why it's like the taste and also the texture is so different. And fermented foods are also filled with beneficial bacteria that works to reinforce the good bacteria inside our digestive system. So since 70% to 80% of the immune system lies in the gut, having a proper balance between the good bacteria is really important. And fermentation generally, well, not so much for in today's society, but fermentation is really good for preserving food. So during fermentation, or basically they turn food into lactic acid and it becomes really sour, and also we put some salt into it, and it basically lowers the pH and basically prevents it from spoilage. So this is why it's quite common for people to make sauerkraut. And even though it's not really that useful in today, because like we've got fridges, having basically it's just in the past, fermentation is basically used to preserve food. And in the late 19th century, microbiologists realized that microorganisms in the GI tract of a healthy individuals are very different to the really sick. This is probably because of, like, the microbes within our body, and it's basically just, like, having this, like, different reaction between different types of people. So we'll be talking about these fermented foods a bit later. So I'm going to play the short song, and I'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, guys. So today is my last show, and we're just talking about fermented foods and why it's good for us. So according to the Journal of Applied Microbiology, there are lots of benefits of probiotics. So probiotics are kind of like this fermented, I don't know how to say it, just like kind of like these bacteria that's good for the gut, and it basically improves our basically, it's just like our intestines. Basically, it's just like helping it move within our basically our stomach, and enhancing the immune system. Basically, allowing all these nutrients to be absorbed, and then it's like all these nutrients and all these minerals. Basically, it's just like making us a bit more healthier, and it reduces the symptoms of lactose intolerance, reducing the prevalence of allergy in individuals, and also reducing risk of certain cancers, such as colon cancers. So when they talk about reducing symptoms of lactose intolerance, is because they kind of like ate that lactase, that sugar that's in milk, and it turns to lactic acid. So that's why some people that's got some people are lactose intolerant are actually could actually eat cheese, and sometimes could eat a bit of yogurt, because like the lactose sugar is actually not that high. So what is fermentation good for? So the health benefits of fermentation. Number one, generally, it's just that it improves digestion. So fermentation breaks down the nutrients into more easily digestible forms. So it basically enhances vitamins and also basically make the food more digestible. Basically, it's like much more easier to absorb and much more easier to just process. So when this is like kind of like funny, whenever like people talk about how the processed food is actually not good for you in general, it's just like if you think about it, fermentation is actually a type of processed food. And for example, like fish sauce and also soya sauce, it's like all these soybeans and also these like fish protein are kind of like broken down into these really concentrated forms. So that's why in Asia they don't really eat a lot of meat, and basically like just have a few drops of like fish sauce and also soy sauce, does it's got a lot of nutrients in it. Suppresses this type of bacteria called Pallari. So Pallari is basically this this kind of bacteria that basically causes gastric reflux and also all these like gastrointestinal diseases. And basically fermented foods basically relieve these issues and symptoms. And sometimes it's got this anti-cancer effects as well. So cancer is caused by activation or mutation of abnormal genes within our body. So it's basically normal cells that suddenly just turned a bit strange and then just like growing for no reason. And then basically to when you're consuming all these like fermented foods that's got probiotic, it basically reduces the chances of it becoming a bit crazy for the cells to turn into cancerous. So it reduces the cancer and tumor growth, and also enhances the bioavailability of nutrients, which I've been hammering for quite a lot. Cool. I'm going to be back in a moment. I'm going to play you the short song. guys, welcome back to Leaked. So today we're talking about fermented food and it's like how it's good for you. And in this section, we're going to talk about so what type of foods are fermented foods that you don't already realize. So first, that some people don't really realize that coffee is actually fermented. So fermentation in coffee basically just breaks down the sugar and also makes that great aroma, taste, and flavor. So generally, it's just... some people don't realize this, but it's actually a lot of processing that goes through coffee, and it basically enhances the taste. I don't think I've ever tasted raw coffee before, but I don't think it's going to taste nice without this whole process going through. Second, it's cheese. So it's no surprise that cheese requires some type of fermentation. So this is basically like I'm pretty sure it's just like the media, and also like a lot of people have talked about this, but... one of the issues with cheese is that it's actually not vegetarian. It requires the rennet of a baby calf, and it basically turns milk into the sour flavor. So they don't really know how it's been discovered. So it's just like people have been doing it for thousands of years, and it's basically allowing people to keep milk for a bit longer. And people add salt into it to give it extra flavor. And it's just one of the safest products. I mean, like, if you think about it, it's like cheese, it's really hard to go wrong because it's been preserved by, it's got this lactic acid, which is a bit sour. It's been processed for a long time. It's been salted. So generally, like, cheese is a very, very safe product. I remember my lecturer would always, like, debate whether to put cheese in the fridge or not, because like if you put cheese in the fridge, it kind of like stops all the flavor, and basically like, well, it doesn't really kill everything, but make everything a bit dormant and a bit tasteless. But if you put cheese outside, it gets a bit stinky because of this like flavor being more intensified. So third is chocolate, where cacao beans are first picked, and then there needs to be a little processing before it could be basically made into chocolate. And basically, this requires a lot of fermentation. So the fourth one is wine, which I've been doing for the past few months, and it's actually really interesting. There's like different ways of making wine. So the one that I'm making is rice wine, which is like kind of a bit strange because like compared to making beer, which I've been doing as well, it's actually like really simple and easy. It usually takes me around like 4 or 5 hours from like the whole soaking and also like and also brewing. But it's just like beer usually takes like around one day. And it's actually really funny because like talking about like the hygiene practices and stuff, like when you make beer, it needs to be super clean, whereas just like rice wine, it's kind of like this really robust product that kind of just doesn't really care. I mean, it doesn't really matter. The rice wine that I made without distilling was around 30% alcohol content, which is like super high. Yeah, it was just like, hopefully it's just that I could brew some good wine. But for some reason, the one that I'm brewing at the moment doesn't taste nice. I don't know why. I've tried to figure it out. And beer, basically, everyone kind of knows this. It requires a fermentation for maybe like 1 or 2 weeks. And basically, it requires a lot of hops. And it's just like converting from sugar into alcohol. Vanilla is another type as well. Vinegar basically is just like, I guess it's more like off wine, because like, you kind of need to turn this, basically it's just like you need to make wine first, and then it, with other bacteria and stuff, and then it turns it into sour. So fish sauce, which I said before, which is kind of like this really concentrated form of protein, so you don't need a lot, and it's really sour. Marmite is another product as well, which is kind of the savory spread. Pretty sure you guys have tasted this before. It's actually made from a byproduct of brewing beer. So I'm going to just be back in a moment, and I'm going to play you this short song. Welcome back to Leaked. So basically this is my final segment of this program, and we're just going to do a little summary of basically fermentation facts. And generally fermentation could take place with or without oxygen, and it's basically a really crucial and important procedure or process for foods such as bread, cheese and wine. And basically it converts carbohydrates or sugar into something else, lactic acid or alcohol. Fermentation occurs in the digestive system as well. It's just like that's why it's just like cows got like four different stomachs, because of the grass, it's got the cellulose, which is like really hard to break down, and we don't break down as a human. And it's just like by consuming fermented products, it improves the intestinal tract health, enhancing the immune system, and also reduces symptoms of lactose intolerance and reducing allergies, and also reducing a risk of certain cancers. So that's all for basically it's just like this program, and I would like to thank you for listening for this program, because like this program was actually like really hard. It was just like trying to find all these facts and stuff. It's actually really fun in the process. I remember discussing about plastic bags and also water issues, school lunch. It was just like some of the more controversial topics were actually really fun to actually try to find. And it's like I remember I would spend maybe like Saturdays and Sundays just like trying to find all these like facts and stuff. And even though it was really tiring, but it was like really fun to do. I would like to just thank you for listening. And the programs are on the Planet FM website, and it's going to be there for another month. So it's just like if you guys want to listen to any of my old programs, it's just like feel free to go on there and download them. Cool. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to Leaked. We'll be right back.
last was like the first. But they came upon the wine. It tastes so good if it is thirst. So I know that every root, yes, I ate from every plant.